Good morning, church. I want to welcome you to this kind of new church that we have here. I can't see you, but I know you're there. And I just want to, as we go into worship, let's just pray. Let's just prepare our hearts as we come into the presence of the Lord and bring Him praise and bring Him worship. So, Father, Lord, we give you thanks. Thanks in this midst of the coronavirus. Thanks in this time of just being sheltered in place. God, I just ask right now for your Spirit to be filling each and every home right now. God, fall, bring your presence into this place, into each home. Lord, we know that this church is not just a building, but we know that this church is just all of us as living stones, built upon you, God, the living stone, the cornerstone. So, Lord, we prepare our hearts right now. Lord, let us see you, let us hear you. Our eyes want to be focused on you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. You are the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High.
My King.
is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
Lord, we thank you. Thank you for being our anchor today. Thank you for being our foundation, the rock upon which we can stand, and we know that we will not be shaken. Father, we enter into the Holy of Holies today through the blood of Jesus Christ. We stand counted righteous, worthy in your presence today. Father, even as we go through the season of storm and gale, we know that your presence is not limited by space or time. Even now, as we are not able to gather together in one place, Lord, we know that your presence is falling upon every home, every family, every individual that is standing in your name to worship you. Father, we long to experience your presence in a fresh and new way through our worship. We want to encounter you. We want to experience the power of your resurrection and your healing wherever we are today. Lord, we stand together in solidarity today as your church. And Lord, we say together in one voice today that we are your people and we will not be shaken. We will not be dismayed, Lord. We thank you for this gift of being able to worship you from wherever we are. And Lord, today, as many of us, hundreds of us, gather together in our own respective home and our own living room, Lord, may your name be lifted up. May your presence be honored in every home and every place. In Jesus' name we pray all these things.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. This is our week three of live streaming our worship experience. The first week, we had our entire pastoral staff on stage. Last week, I had a chance to speak from my living room, and we are actually back here in our own living room here.
Yeah, how come we're here?
You tell us.
How come we're not sheltering? Well, we are sheltering in place, don't get me wrong. We actually are so happy to be back at our San Jose church, in our sanctuary. And we have actually figured out that we've received new guidance that allows us to be here as long as we are gathered just a few, and as long as we're keeping a safe distance, this is actually very good. So we're so happy to be back here, and for you joining us on Facebook Live, YouTube, or on our own church website.
And Mark and Audrey, I know that every one of us is just longing for the day when we can come together again in worship and fellowship, but I'm just glad that I'm seeing the two of you leading us into God's presence. Just tell us how the Lord is just working in your life right now, and what is he teaching you in this season?
You know, I think one thing is just drawing near to God, you know. Sometimes, you know, unfortunately, I think it takes times like these for all of us just to recognize how utterly dependent we are on God. And I think I just find myself, because I do have more time as well, too, just kind of drawing near to God, taking out my guitar, worshiping God, just praising God, looking at him and calling out and saying, God, what are you doing? And why are you doing this? And God, would you have mercy? And, you know, just so I think it is really a time of, to me, at least for myself, just drawing ever closer to God right now. Yeah.
So what's going to happen next week, Pastor Ted? Are we going to be here again? Do you know?
Yes, this is really a new experience for all of us. I wish I can tell you this is what's going to happen next week and the week after, but we're just really taking one day at a time. But next week is actually very special. We are going to keep our focus on mission. We had a wonderful Zoom call this week with one of our international workers who's going to be sharing what God is doing in China and beyond. And so you'll get all the information through email and also on our church website. But I think it's crucial that you actually check your email and also go to our church website for instructions, because we cannot make this Sunday's Focus on Mission open to all people because of security concerns. So you may have to log in or have to have a password, but we're going to keep this private as a webinar, and it's going to be a very interactive time, and it's also going to be a live webinar. So please plan on joining us. There will be three different sessions in three different languages. So one at 9:30 for English, and then 10:30 for Cantonese, and then 11:30 for Mandarin congregation.
Wow, that sounds very exciting. Now, since we haven't been able to gather in place as a church family, how can we give of our tithes and offerings? What are some ways that as a family we can still support God's work, the church, overseas missions? How do we do that, Pastor Ted?
Yeah, thank you for reminding us of the importance of giving in this season. In fact, as you know, that we have not made any drastic changes in our church operation, even though we cannot come together for our meetings and our day-to-day work here. Most of our staff are still working at home around the clock, and we have not laid off anybody, and I'm not planning to do that. So we're actually at full capacity right now. So it is very, very crucial for you to continue to give towards our general fund. And I also want to remind you that we need to continue to support our work around the world through supporting our Great Commission Fund. And especially in times like this, there may be some of us who might experience some economic hardship in the coming days. So we're also encouraging you to give towards Benevolent Fund, which will really be going to support some of our own family members who are going to be going through this hardship. So our staff actually has prepared a very short and sweet instruction on how to give online. So let's go to the video and then roll that video for all of us.
What an interesting couple of weeks it's been. What an interesting period of time we're going through right now. So hello, church. You know, we've just finished our second week of sheltering in place. And as we try to flatten the curve for this coronavirus epidemic, I don't know how it's been for you, but I'll share with you how it's been for me. But I wanted to just take some time to really ask you, how are you doing through all of this? You know, it's been a couple weeks. How's your family doing? Have you been able to process what you've been going through or experiencing over the last couple of weeks? Have you had a chance to share with a family member or a friend some of the things that you've been experiencing or some of the things that you've been going through? You know, as believers, of course, we know that God is still in control, even though things may be hectic or crazy and seemingly spiraling out of control, especially when we hear news reports, especially when we read about the increasing number of cases in Santa Clara County. But we trust in God's sovereignty. We trust that he has a plan, actually, for all of this. We trust that he is really ultimately in control on his throne, and this whole thing hasn't surprised him at all. And that we trust that he knows what he's doing and that he will continue to do a new thing. You know, over the past 2 weeks, as we've all been going through this, much like most of you, I've been reflecting and really asking myself, well, what is God doing? Why would God allow this? What are we going through? Why are we going through this period of uncertainty? Why are we holed up in our homes? Why can't we go out like normal? What is God trying to teach us as a church? And really, what is God trying to teach me as an individual? And you'll hear a little bit about my own personal journey, but I feel like through all of this, God has really been exposing myself, my true self, some of the anxieties that I may have, some of the attitudes that may not necessarily be good that I may have, and God's really been refining me as his son. And I'm still trying to discover the answers, but here are some thoughts that have been kind of racing through my mind. You know, God is using this time to recalibrate his church, and he's moving us out of our comfort zones. You know, really posing the question, what really is the church? Is it these four walls? It's certainly not the building, nor is it the programs or the ministries. But again, like we've talked about, it's really the people, you and I. And today, there are hundreds of churches in the South Bay Area, as you meet and worship God, that's a church. You are the church. And, you know, even though we cannot gather together in one central location, God is dispersing his church throughout the South Bay Area. Literally, hopefully on every street, there is a lighthouse shining for him. You know, it's really the people, right? But also another thing is, we may have never really experienced here in the West persecution as a church, as some of the other places, as we heard about. You know, there are many other places where a church body cannot meet, where it's illegal, right? And it's forced the church to go underground or to be in house churches. You know, some of these restricted places like the Middle East or in communist countries. And perhaps this is like a little taste of what that might be like. You know, things that you and I take for granted every day, you know, as we came to church, you know, before 3 weeks ago. Oh yeah, of course, you know, the worship team is going to be ready. Of course, we're going to be able to see each other. But perhaps God is saying, you know what? Let's just get back to the basics. Let's just get back to all the things that really matter. You know, we've taken so many things for granted. You know, our instruments, our potlucks, our small groups, our fellowships, our children's and our youth ministries. Sometimes we don't cherish what we have unless it's actually taken away from us. And over the last couple of weeks, I think I've been cherishing you even more because we haven't been able to meet in person, because we haven't been able to break bread together, because we haven't been able to physically shake hands, embrace. And I wonder, perhaps, maybe God is stirring within us a deeper longing for his body, a deeper longing for the church as it really should be. You know, last week, Pastor Ted reminded us of the four essentials of the businesses of the church, right? The apostles teaching the word, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, communion, and prayer. You know, for me personally, like I was saying, it's really been a journey. It's actually, to be quite honest and frank, it's been a rough 2 weeks. The first week was shock and chaos. Towards the end of the second week, things seemed a little bit calmer and a little bit, maybe a little bit slightly under control, and getting used to a few more things. You all know that we have three kids. Well, so all three of our kids have been at home, and it has just been, to put it mildly, chaotic. Cheryl being at work, two of the older kids started online learning a week and a half ago. Seemingly a nice thing, but oh my goodness, is it a lot of work? Learning Google Classroom, learning how to use Zoom. But for each of them, you know, they can't, like little Esther, she doesn't know what to push. She doesn't know how to mute or unmute. So sitting with them all at the while, trying to keep little Enoch at bay so he doesn't go into the camera and, you know, do his little mischievous things. But then in addition to the public school, Cheryl and I brilliantly put our kids into an after-school Chinese program. They also went online. And so they have their own login. They have their own Zoom. They have their own Laoshi stuff, right? And so here I am, juggling here, running between the living room, the family room, my mom's side of the house, like trying to figure out everything. Juggling laptops, not having enough laptops, devices, learning everything, all the settings, printing out worksheets. Let me just say thank you to all those teachers out there. My goodness, I truly appreciate what you all do. I guess I just didn't have an idea. But also, I think one thing that God has taught me is I'm not going to be a very good homeschool teacher. So I think we'll just leave it at that. But basically, juggling all the things. And then a few days into this shelter in place, Cheryl started feeling sick. Feeling warm, but no fever. Sore throat, really tired and fatigued. So she started to self-isolate and hole herself up in her room. So now I had three wild kids, a sick wife, my mom and my aunt who are in their 80s, living on the other side of the house, and trying to feed the family, but you all know, I think some of you know, I don't cook, okay? So trying to figure out what the meals are, trying to ask Cheryl, like, oh, what can we do? Trying to see if my mom can help. Trying to balance everything was nearly impossible. And there was one point that I texted Cheryl while she was holed up in her room, hearing all the chaos. I said, you need to pray for me. I can't do this. I just cannot do this. When is this going to end? There are times when I lost it with the kids, when I yelled at them, when I lost my patience with my mom and my aunt, and everything just seemed to be crashing down. You know, Shelly eventually got tested for COVID-19, and earlier this week, the results came back negative. So praise God, negative for COVID-19, negative for flu, negative for RSV. She's convinced she had something. I'm thinking, was it in your head? But she says it's not. And I believe her. She still has no idea what she had. She went back to work. But, you know, when she tested negative, I felt such a huge relief, like a huge burden had lifted off me. And I was so full of praise to God. You know, through all of this, it's only been a couple weeks, the Lord began to speak to me and really expose my own self to me. And just sharing me, like showing me, like, what just happened? Like, what did I just go through? And it felt like he was rebuking me for focusing on my own circumstances and not looking at the greater picture of what our mighty God might be doing. Not seeing things from his heavenly perspective, but just from my own little perspective of my three chaotic kids, of my little household. Poor me, I'm so tired, I have a sick wife, I'm so overwhelmed, I can't get anything done. And really asking God, God, what are you doing in all of this? Is this a mistake? Why are we going through this? Why am I going through this? You know, and one of the words that God has been showing me is the word opportunity. And even as we were going into the shelter in place mandate, that word opportunity was there. But I think as I was starting to go through it, that word went out the window. I totally forgot about this word opportunity. And I want to turn your attention to a couple of verses from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 16. And here Paul writes, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." He starts out by saying, be very careful. Church, you and I need to be very careful about how we are living. How are we living? Not as unwise, but as wise, especially in this current shelter-in-place setting. How are we living wisely? Are we asking God to help us to have his wisdom to how to live? But not to live in fear, okay? Not to live by hoarding, but to really live the way he wants us to live. To really live in love, to really live in boldness, to really live in courage. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. What are some of those opportunities that God may be placing before you and I? Perhaps it's an opportunity to not fear like the rest of the world, to not react like the rest of the world. I reacted to my circumstances. I'm sure I missed some opportunities there. Maybe it's an opportunity to take on what he promises in 2 Timothy 1:7, to take on a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. How can we see the opportunities that God is laying before us right now, even as we go through this together as his bride? I see a few things. I've seen opportunities to connect. You know, in our family, we've actually had opportunities to connect as a family. You know, for most of all of us, we live in such a busy society. You know, in Silicon Valley, things are so busy, so chaotic, meetings, going to work, running errands, doing things with the kids. Use this time as a time to bond with your family, to have fun together, to share more, to speak life into one another's hearts, to grow deeper in the Lord. You know, we have had a chance to really take some walks together with the kids. You know, they've been cooped up in the house. So we would take them out on walks and even on bike rides. And I have a confession, our kids aren't the most athletic. And so, you know, Josiah learned to ride a bike when he was quite older. Esther and Enoch still did not know how to ride a bike. But over the last couple of weeks, they got on their their, what is it called? Their balance bikes. And you know what? Yesterday, when I took the kids out, Esther and Enoch started balancing. And it was such a golden, like a wonderful opportunity for us to connect. And, you know, she's not perfect because she actually bit the dust and fell and she cried. But she was like, oh, I'm having so much fun balancing. And then sure enough, after that, she fell. But it's such, I don't think, if it weren't for this time of sheltering in place, I don't think we would have had the time to go for those bike rides every day. I don't think they would have learned how to balance on their bikes. With people. Opportunities with people. You know, as we're taking walks or going out bike riding, we're seeing our neighbors more. Actually, to tell you the truth, we don't know all our neighbors. We know some, but there are a lot of neighbors that kind of just go into the garage and close their door and they're by themselves, right? Or they don't really come out and interact. But over the last couple of weeks, as we've taken walks, we've actually interacted with more neighbors than I can count in the last 2 years that we've been in our neighborhood. People have been out for walks. They're willing to talk at a distance, but still willing to interact. And even this week, you know, within our district of our movement, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, I've had a chance to interact with some pastors. I mean, our district sent out an email and encouraging us to connect with other pastors. And so on Thursday morning, I jumped on a call. I knew some of the pastors. I didn't know all of the pastors. But these were like over 12 godly leaders leading their churches in our district. We were praying, we were encouraging, we were hearing amazing stories about people in Utah. I guess the Mormon church didn't have anything live stream or online. And so these Mormons are logging in to our Alliance churches in Utah and joining the live feed and watching the service. Wow, what an opportunity, right? And then we heard from our Pastor Rayad in Sacramento that all of these non-Christian Arabs, because they had nothing to do, they were bored, they logged into his Arabic church in Sacramento, and they heard the message of hope. It's amazing what God might be presenting before us. These opportunities, not just to connect, but also to love. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been hearing stories of different people. You know, a young brother in our congregation offering himself to get groceries for those that are elderly. Not because I asked, not because Pastor Ted asked. He just felt compelled by God to say, oh, do you need anything? Can I help you get some groceries? You know, a sister inviting her friend to join one of our online services because their church didn't have anything. You know, and then that friend actually connecting with other people later after the service to share and pray, and really seeing prayer as a new way of how to relate to God. You know, just loving people. How are we able to respond in love? Is it a phone call? Is it an email? Is it a chat message to someone that maybe we missed, someone we haven't seen? Or maybe someone that God has placed on your heart to say, oh, maybe I should check in with so-and-so or so-and-so. And then, you know, like Mark shared earlier, some of us may find ourselves with more time because we don't have to sit in traffic, we don't have to commute. So what are we using that time for? Enjoy that downtime, but don't waste it. Use it as an opportunity. Maybe it's an opportunity to worship God more. Maybe it's an opportunity to read a good book. Maybe it's an opportunity to pray more. Maybe it's an opportunity to do a project around the house that you've been waiting to do. These are all opportunities that God has led us to. Maybe it's just getting back to the basics of life, the important things, you and I, our friends, our family. But the other thing that God has been laying on my heart is not only are these opportunities for us to get into, but these are opportunities that lead to a new thing that God is doing. And the second portion of scripture that I want to go into is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 19 to 21. Here Isaiah is saying, or actually God is saying, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. You know, in these few short verses, I see a few things. The first thing is the beginning of verse 19, where it starts off by saying, see. God says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you believe that even during this pandemic, that God could be doing a new thing? A lot of times, well, I certainly didn't see it in the last couple of weeks because I was so preoccupied with my own stuff, with my own circumstances. But here, God is saying, open your eyes, church. See the new opportunities. See the new things that I am doing. Do you not see it? Church, I want to encourage you to pause and say, God, would you open my eyes? Would you show me the new thing that perhaps you are doing? Would you show me whatever opportunity you are placing before me so that I don't miss out? You know, God's always working. And if we believe that, shouldn't he still be working in this pandemic? Of course he is. But the question is, are we willing to look up and to say, God, I want to see. Take away my blinders. Take away my lack of faith. Take away any obstacle. Show me. Give me your vision, your eyesight to see this new thing that is springing up. Second thing, I am making a way, God says, in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You know, when we think of a desert or a wilderness or a wasteland, it's not usually a pretty sight, right? But for those of you who have been more outdoors or in nature, but you'll also realize that even in the desert, even in the wilderness, even in the wasteland, there is still beauty. There are still amazing things that God does in those desolate places. And I believe that even as we go through shelter in place, even though as we go through this pandemic, although it might be a wilderness or a desert for us, God can still do something beautiful. God can still turn a desolate place into a beautiful thing. He says he is making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. He's actually providing. He says in verse 20 that he provides water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink. Not only, well, he says the wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, but he also provides sustenance. If God can do that way back then for the Israelites, will he not do that more for us today? If God can take care of the jackals and the owls that are in the wasteland and in the desert places, will he not more provide water for us today? Last week, Pastor Ted talked about, or was it 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, God provided toilet paper, right? I'm sure God can provide toilet paper for you and I, right? I'm sure God can provide for our every need. He can provide us drink. He can provide us water. Why? Because we are his people, his chosen. It says in verse 21, the people I form for myself. Brothers and sisters, you and I are beloved. God has not forgotten about us. So we don't have to despair. We have to remember that God is the one who provides. He is the one that is doing this new thing. He is the one that is saying, peace, be still. I'm yours and you are mine. The last thing is that we're not just his people that he provides for, but we're called to proclaim his praise. Okay, and that's definitely something that I forgot to do over the last 2 weeks. How are we able to proclaim his praise in the midst of uncertainty? In the midst of a trying or difficult situation? In the midst of being held in your house? Some of you, because you're working from home, maybe you're working even harder. Maybe you're staying up even longer. For those of you who are homeschooling, the Lord bless you and give you strength and courage and peace. But how are we able to praise God despite? How are we able to still praise God and say, Lord, even though I'm sheltering in place, I praise you for all these opportunities. I praise you for all these new things that you are doing in my midst, in my own life, that you are doing in my family's life, that you are doing in our church life. Some of you have been able to log on to some of our online gatherings. My goodness, God is doing a new thing. But a lot of times, for once, I chose to focus on my own stuff. And not really look up and say, God, what are these opportunities that you have placed before me? So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to take your eyes off your own stuff and to really look upward and to say, God, help me to see the opportunities that you're placing before me. Help me, Lord, to see, to open my eyes, to see the new things that you are doing, that you are good, that you are faithful, that you are making a way, that you are providing, whether it be water or toilet paper or whatever, that you formed us as your people and that you love us so that we can proclaim his praise. You know, God wants us as his people, as his church, not to live in fear, not to retreat back, not to hoard, but to really rise up to the occasion, rise up to the opportunities that God is placing before us, to shine, to really thrive. He wants his church, even though we're going through a difficult time, to thrive in the midst of this situation. So brothers and sisters, even as we sing this last song, as we close, I want to ask you a few things. What opportunities might God be placing before you in this shelter-in-place period? Maybe your eyes have been too focused on your own needs right now. Ask God to open your eyes to really see the opportunities that he has placed before you, to see the new things that he's doing in your midst. Ask God to do a new thing. You know, if you ask, God's going to answer. And he might surprise you in a mysterious and wonderful way. Is it among your family, your coworkers, your neighbor, your classmates? You know, the president of our U.S. movement of the Christian Mission Alliance, John Stumbo, he shared with us this week, and he challenged us to really steward this moment well. So I want to ask you, church, and exhort you to steward this moment well, even as we sing this response song.
That is who you are. You are here. God, that is who you are. You are a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop.
That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship.
So God, we come before you today as your people. And Lord, we want to continue to worship you. Lord, we want to say, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we adore you. We want to worship you because, Lord, you are the one who is worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise. And Jesus, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you that you are here in all of our homes. We thank you that you are here in our places of shelter. And we thank you, God, that you are the true way maker. You are the promise keeper. You are the one who can make a way in the desert. You are the one that can make a way in the wilderness. Jesus, we declare you as the one who is saying today, I am giving you opportunities. And so, Lord, we say today, Jesus, open our eyes to see the new things that you are doing. Open our eyes to see the opportunities that you are presenting before us today, whether it be in our homes, whether it be with our classmates, even if it's online, whether it be with our neighborhoods. Jesus, what is it that you are doing? Help us to seize those opportunities, to love, to connect, to be your church. God, forgive us for focusing just on ourselves. Forgive me for not lifting my eyes to you. God, we want to see. Open our eyes. Give us eyes of faith to believe that, God, you are doing a new thing. So, Jesus, show us those new things that you are doing. Give us your courage. Give us your boldness. Fill us with an even deeper measure of your grace and your anointing for your people today. Jesus, as your children, as your chosen ones, we need the fresh touch from you today. We need the fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. Because Jesus, we want to be a people called by you to love and to be your light, to not retreat, but to advance, to be your church, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Fill us today, we pray. And we thank you, Jesus, for you are good. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies are new each day. And Lord, we long to continue to worship you. Thank you, Jesus, for it's in your name that we pray. Amen. We have an opportunity right now at the end of this service to log into Zoom. And you'll see it on the screen, but this is the link. Just log into Zoom and we'll have an opportunity to see each other face to face, to interact, to share, to pray, to hear what God is doing in our midst, to see the new things that God is doing, and to continue to declare his praise as his chosen people. Log into Zoom right now and we'll see you soon. God bless you, church.